So, we're talking about the will of God here, and the key is to get connected with it. Now, let's take a look at this process. Okay, the will of God. Now, new chart. As we think about the will of God, we're going to be a little bit analytical here, so bear with me, those of you who find analytical things a little eye-rolling, okay? All right, but this is important, okay? Stay with me here. The will of God, how do we think about the will of God? Now, what we want to look at is, there we go, how we can perceive it. There's a lot of people who are stuck in the theological stratosphere. They never quite land on planet Earth. They're so busy trying to figure out the will of God in eternity past and future that they can't figure out what's going on in the here and now. Okay? They're trying to live in where only God can live. They're trying to go to outer space without a spacesuit. Okay? And I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about, but a lot of people really get hung up in the theory of, you know, it's usually start talking about the sovereignty of God. Okay? Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God. Okay? And by the way, sovereignty of God simply means that God can do whatever he wants to. Now, some people's notion of the sovereignty of God is that God can, not only can he do whatever he wants to, but whatever he's going to do, and it really doesn't have anything to do with anything. As a matter of fact, they'll even talk about the divine caprice. That's blasphemy as far as I'm concerned, to be really honest. God is not a capricious God. Just doing stuff because he can do it. Okay? What God does is always consistent with his own character. Always. He doesn't have to do it because he's obligated to somebody else, but because he is obligated to himself and who he is. And he has revealed who he is in the Word of God and in the Son of God. That's where we learn the character of God. And everything that God does is consistent with his character as it is revealed in the Scripture and in the Son. Okay? Now, that's how we perceive it. We are finite beings. We don't live in infinity. We live in a finite world. We live in time and space. And so we can only really understand the will of God in terms of the realm in which we live. Right? And God has given us his Word and his Son to help us understand that. And he's also given us his Spirit to help us connect the dots, isn't it? Right? So we're talking about the will of God as we can perceive it. Now, if we think about it, we can kind of see two categories. Okay, one of those is God's general will. Okay? And what we're talking about there is what is revealed, directly revealed in Scripture. What he has told us, point blank, this is my will. Okay? Oops, wrong button. Okay? The opposite of general is specific. Okay? Now, what I'm talking about here is how we apply what God has revealed in Scripture to our particular context. The time and place where we live. The situation that we find ourselves in the providence of God. Whatever that might be. Okay? Are you with me? Okay. All right. Some of you are looking a little glazed, okay, so it's okay. I understand. Okay, so general and specific. Okay, let's move on. Now, as we look at God's general will, there's some different kinds of things that are revealed in Scripture. First of all, there are unconditional promises and covenants in the Scripture. Okay, you might want to know that. There are also what we might call prophetic declarations. Things that God in his Word through the prophets, etc., have said are going to happen. And they are going to happen. That would be a good place for an amen. That's good. Okay. All right. Hard, isn't it, brother? Okay. All right. There's a kind of, in a little bit of contrast, that there are also conditional promises and covenants. Now, unconditional promises and covenants are like prophetic utterances. They are going to happen. Period. Conditional promises and covenants may or may not. Okay? And it's very important to know the difference. And there are also commands, things that God has told us to do. Do we always do what God tells us to do? No, unfortunately. Okay? So as we, just looking at this, we already can see a kind of another way of analyzing this, another way of looking at the will of God. Now, are all these things the will of God? But is there a difference between, here, can you see a difference right there? Okay? On the top part, you got things, are those going to happen, or are they just might happen? They're going to happen. Well, suppose we disobey. Doesn't matter. Suppose we don't believe it. Doesn't matter. It's going to happen anyway. Nobody can do anything about that. Okay? But commands, are they necessarily, you know, God says, thou shalt not kill. Do people do that? Now, could God say, thou shalt not kill in such a way that nobody would ever kill anybody? Yes, he could. Has he done that? No. How do you know that? Duh, you know. Open your eyes, read the paper, you know. Okay. These things happen. Okay, we're talking reality here. We're not talking about out in space. We're not just talking about ideals. We're talking about the real. Okay? So what we have here is kind of another way to another, you know, we kind of moved around to the other side here looking at God's will, and we can say that on the top here we have God's determined will. And again, keep in mind, this is as we can perceive it. I'm not saying here that God hasn't determined other things, but he hasn't filled me in on that, or you either. Okay? At this point. Okay? But they are going to happen. That's God's determined will. But some things really don't fit in that category. They are God's desired will. Now, that little distinction is extremely important to get a hold of when we're talking about the will of God. And sometimes we are talking about one, you know, we talk, you know, it's kind of like sometimes when we talk about things, we're a little bit like, you know, the people, you know, have the telephone turned around. Well, it's hard to do that these days, but the old telephones, you could do that. You know, you could turn and put the earpiece where the mouth's supposed to be, et cetera. And we're talking about, you know, we're talking different things and don't know it, okay? So we're not communicating very well. So it's very important when we're talking about the will of God that we understand, what are we talking about God's determined will, or are we talking about God's desired will? What God has said is going to happen no matter what, or what God wants to happen and may not, okay? Now, when we move over to the specific area, when we start applying what is revealed in Scripture here, let's see, I got to get used to it. Let me pull this thing. Here we go. Okay. What's revealed in Scripture? Oh, push another button. Okay. I'm gonna work this thing. Okay. But we look at God's specific will in connection. I wish I hadn't done that. But anyway, that messes up the effect. But anyway. Yeah, how do I do that? Hey, I'm good, right? Oh, boy. Anyway. Okay. What? Perfect. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, when we're talking about God's specific will in the desired area, we're talking about what ought to be. In our particular situation, we can take the Word of God and we can discern, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what ought to be in our specific context. This is called applying Scripture. This is what ought to be. But does that mean it's going to be? No, that's a different realm, isn't it? Okay? So that's where you get into God's determined will in our specific context. That's what's going to happen right here and right now. Now, here's where it gets scary. Okay? This is where you got to really fasten your seatbelt. Because this is where this big 747 meets the runway. We're talking about landing the plane here. And any pilot will tell you that the most dangerous time in any flight is what? The takeoff and landing. Okay? And we're talking about landing here. And this gets scary. Okay? Because now we're talking about something that God has determined in our specific situation. It is what James refers to in James chapter 5 as the prayer of faith. And it's there he says, the prayer of faith will do what? Anybody remember? Save the sick. Okay, this is why I say this gets a little scary. Does that mean, well, it really is God's will to heal, always? No, we don't know that. The question is, save him from what? Okay, we'd have to look at that passage in a lot more detail. But what I'm getting at here is we're talking about the point where you know that God is going to say yes. Not just that you hope he's going to say yes. Not just that you feel like he's going to say yes. But you know he's going to say yes so thoroughly that you would be willing to go out on a limb personally on the assumption that he's going to do what you've asked him to do. That's why James says, let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. Woo. Okay. This is scary territory, okay? It's also very exciting, okay? We're talking about connecting with what God is doing right here and right now. And that's really what faith, what prayer is all about, okay? So let's take a look at this process a little more closely, okay? Now, it's very important that one... it's up there somewhere. Okay, here we go. Okay. That we start here, okay? That area has to be step one. You can put a little one down there in that corner there if you want to. Obviously, the reason we start on the left-hand side is because we're talking about God's will as it is what?
Revealed
in Scripture, yeah. Which includes the determined, also the desire. But you start with the Bible, okay? You don't start with how you feel. You don't start with what you think. You don't start with what Mother Teresa said. You start with the Bible, what God has said, okay? And you start also with what God has determined. Why would you do that? Well, if, let's say that you were praying, as I have done, that the Lord would come back before, you can fill in the blank, you know, before that big exam, before that job interview, before, you know, the CAT scan that you're going to have done, before that surgery, or before, yeah, okay. Now let me ask you something. Is there any point in that? Well, I'll help you out. The answer is no. And the reason is because the Lord has determined when he's told us that Christ is coming back when he's coming back, period. You can't pray it in faster or slower. You can't put it off, you know. Or, Lord, you know, as one young lady I talked to, please don't let the rapture happen before I get married. Okay? You know? And it's an understandable thing, but, you know, it's pointless, you know, because that is determined. God has told us so. You can't move that marker, no matter how much you pray or don't pray, okay? So what we're talking about here is that this area, this top left quadrant up there, gives us the framework in which God is working. And the better grasp of you that you have of these unconditional promises and covenants in Scripture, the prophetic declarations, the better grasp you have of God's program in this age, the better you will understand the basic framework within which we must operate and within which God has committed himself to operate. He is not going to operate outside that framework. If we ask him for something that requires moving out of that framework, guess what? The answer is no. So don't waste your time. Okay? Get with the program. Okay? Put it another way. All right? So you start there. That's basic. But you don't stop there. Okay? The next step, as you move down here with the conditional promises and covenants and his commands, now we're looking at what God wants to do. But we don't know if he's going to do that or not. So once we basically understood the framework, we want to start asking yourself, okay, what does God want to happen? And as we learn these things, then we're in a position to move to the next one there, over here, to what ought to be. Now, this transition right here is one that absolutely requires the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the things I was just talking with. How are we going for time? What time we got to quit? 5 o'clock. Down. Okay. One of the things that concern a very experienced pastor, a missionary friend of mine, who's serving as an interim pastor in a terrific church. Is that a lot of fellows who are coming out of seminaries and so forth right now, not all, don't misunderstand, but a whole lot of them that are coming out, and it's not anything really new, but it's happening, are coming out, and the idea is that you just give people, you know, what the Bible says, and it's up to them to figure out the application. Now, there's a sense in which that's true, but the fact is, this is the area where we probably need the most help. And this is where we most need the help of people who have walked with the Lord and who know are experienced with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and who can help us, along with the Holy Spirit, to make the application of Scripture. This is very hard for most people to do. But it's also important to understand that God has given us His Spirit so that we can do this. Now, he uses other people. He uses teachers. He uses pastors. He uses other people who come alongside and counsel us and help us. But sooner or later, you've got to connect yourself with the work of the Holy Spirit and making that connection to the point where it becomes conviction in your own prayer life here. We're focusing on prayer. Okay, so what ought to be? So that's is where the Holy Spirit really starts to kick in big time. And he helps us to understand the first part. Don't misunderstand. But understanding means putting the pieces together. And the Holy Spirit helps us to put the pieces together, you know, the pieces of, whoops, wrong thing, the pieces of, of the Scripture with the pieces of the world in which we live. That's understanding. Okay? Real world understanding. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do that. Okay. But the final step is moving to this prayer of faith, the point where it's not just what it ought to be, but you have reached the point where you're convinced that God is going to do this. This is what John was talking about in 1 John 5:14, where he said, "If this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he what? Hears us, and we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we desired of him." Okay? That's this right here. Okay? Where we can pray with that absolute that it is a done deal. Whenever it may happen, it's going to happen. Okay? Most of us never quite get to that point. Because, again, this is not easy. Now, I have to move on a little bit here. And we'll see. Maybe we'll be able to come back to some of this. But the big mistake that you can make here is to think that, okay, now I'm done. Process complete. Big mistake. It's not done yet. Okay? It keeps going. Okay? Because, talk to me. There we go. It starts all over again. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Anybody put that for me? Call me and I will answer thee. That's the whole verse, right? Ah. Call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will what? Show you great and mighty things which you what? Know not. Oh, there's more. We are not done. We're just getting cranked up here. Okay? So the idea here is that this is a process. The big mistake is that people start out, you know, they got a prayer request, okay? And so, okay, I want to find out what God wants to do in this situation. Okay, now I figured it out. Now I know that's God's will, so I'm going to pray that. Now I'm done. It's not quite that simple much of the time. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it really is, okay? But most of the time it's not, especially when we talk about a particular kind of prayer. Now, there's different kinds of prayer.